Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Adjacent.
You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Chris was saying that he loves being on his show. Before you came on, we were waiting for you, and Chris was saying he loves being on his show. That's like his comfort zone. But when he ever steps out of that into other shows, he is worried that he will fall flat, that he is boring, wacky, hilarious Chris Cody that everybody is wanting, which is a terrible expectation to have.
I used to get really nervous on the main show, like at the very beginning when I was like never talking and then I went to talking, I would get very flustered and sometimes made fun of on the air because I would just lose my train of thought. But I've gotten past that. But now when I do other hits, I just get this like feeling like I need to be good. Like I saw like Jerry Seinfeld like talk about this, like how about being prepared when you come on somebody else's show. So I've always just like, I want to be good, but I feel like I'm never going to be Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, you probably won't. No, I don't think you're going to be Jerry Seinfeld. But
that's what I'm saying.
Like, that's where you're aiming?
When Seinfeld says right, that, exactly. Cool? When I see Seinfeld say that, I'm like, okay, yeah.
All right. Why don't you just, you'll be fine here, man. You'll be fine. We'll be happy to have you.
I feel better
just
already.
Be regular Chris Cody.
Thank you.
You know what's funny about that? Like, there ahead. Are, I can't even say the fraction of people that listen to the show he's actually on listens to our podcast.
I know.
Like, it shouldn't be that way.
Right. That's what's weird about it is that it's just the idea of like doing it and like, I'm used to, you know what it is? I'm used to being like the on a starting lineup, like the fifth guy, and I can just shoot whenever I want. Whereas in this setting, I'm kind of like, you know, when I'm getting interviewed, I'm expected to be like better than that. So that's why I feel the pressure of like, I'm going to have a lot of attempts tonight. I got to shoot at least 50%.
Look, we're going to give you the ball tonight.
That's what I'm saying.
Expecting.
I'm going to pass it right back to you. I'm more of an assist guy. So like,
but you can be Bosch. You can be Bosch though. Out of, you know, it's a big three, but you can be Bosch if that makes you feel more comfortable.
Okay. That is
the, we need 22 and 10.
Yeah, that's all.
See, that's, now I'm sweating again. I was feeling better, and now I'm
also, in addition to that, some of the greatest big man defense of the pick and roll we've ever seen. Because that was also part of Chris Bosh's game.
I was like,
how are you nervous about this? I'm literally in my dad's basement right now. This is literally they built you an extravagant, beautiful studio at the Clevelander on Miami Beach, right on the ocean.
Well, ESPN did.
And you're fine.
Like, yeah, we just
it's still there, right?
We just kept paying the rent. Like, we didn't really build
it. This is a show that literally I'm in my dad's basement right now, and you're nervous about this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in my dining room. My kid's upstairs. My wife's putting her to sleep. Like, I'm out of my element right now.
That's why I'm here, by the way. I don't live in my dad's basement, but this is the only place that's quiet at this time of day.
Right. So if you hear a child screaming, it's me.
yes,
because it's your kid,
right? Both.
Jason, I saw Ashley this weekend, and she was telling me like, you notice he's been at his dad's house a lot more to record because it's kind of crazy over here sometimes.
Right.
I'm like, look, but watch, it's like really quiet over there when you're not there.
At my house? No, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's never quiet. There's three kids, two dogs. Like, there's no way it's ever quiet there. Chris asked me, we were chatting a little bit before you came on, Paul Russ. Chris asked me, did I get nervous when I was first going on shows and things
doing
like
hits.
That? Oh, definitely, man. Especially on you guys' show. That's really how it started, is I went on and you guys had asked me for the first time to come on when I was covering the Heat, talk about the Heat. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm a fan of this show. Like there's a high, high standard here. Everyone I know listens to the show.
Yeah.
And I just was like,
I can't imagine. You were probably like shitting. You were probably like, what am I going to do? I got to have a bit.
A little.
I got to have a bit.
That's exactly it. And I said, all right, here we go. If this isn't going well, then I'm just going to torpedo the bleep out of this thing. And that's what happened. Dan was arguing me about some like nuanced stat or something, and the argument's fine, but I'm feeling like this is not good. I know the show's supposed to be funny. And I finally was like, this was the one bad Heat season I covered, Russ. I finally, and it was all true. I was like, listen, do you know where I'm doing this from? I'm pulled over in the parking lot of a KFC in Indianapolis on my way to the airport to talk to you. So I don't really need to have this argument.
I remember that. I remember, like, we were just cracking up and just, like, because you painted such a picture of, like, I'm in a sad parking lot.
Dude, it was like, so the funny. Middle of winter, overcast in a KFC parking lot in Indianapolis, like, near the airport. It was as sad as it sounded. And I was like, I'm hitting this hard if things aren't going well.
When you guys had him on, like, did somebody know he was funny, or was it, like, shot in the dark, we think this guy might be funny, let's give him a chance?
Well, I think it was, like... I think we were all just we felt his like dry, like, I don't give it. It was kind of like, it was almost like he painted a sad picture, but it was also like, I don't really like, it was almost like, I don't give a shit about this. He was just like, whatever. Like, this team stinks. Like, why are you even like talking to me about this right now?
That's so definitely like, his MO with the Bears. It's like, this team stinks. I don't even care.
And I've made fun of him before. I mean, he just, everywhere he goes, it's just that he's going to get that type of team. So like, you know, I heard the Bears are looking at Jeff Ireland now. I was just like, perfect.
And Flores.
Like, he needs to go. Like, everyone is just, all the former Dolphins people are just attracted to Jason.
Shaquem Grant.
I just remember, like, that was, we didn't, like, we just kind of assumed, I had never, like, met Jason really before that. So, like, that was what I knew Jason is. Yeah, that's why I was like, so that was what he was as far as I knew. And it was just, it hit for me. I was like, he's either doing a bit or he's just really dry and funny. Like, it was either way, it worked.
It worked, Russ. And then I was like, okay, this is my life now, I guess. When I'm on this show, this is what I got to do.
Yeah.
Which is fine when you're on for like 5 or 10 minutes, and especially fine when I go on to cover the Dolphins and it's just like even easier to play that character. But then we got to a point where I was on for an hour once a week, and I'm like, I can't keep this up. Like, we can't do it like this. I told Mike, like I'm not going to keep doing that character on here. So like first show, we had to be like, hey, look, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a real person.
Joke's up. I'm not really like that. Yeah. Let's start our show. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with my co-host, Russ Dorsey, and our guest co-host that we are so glad to have from the Levitard Show, Chris Cody, live from Miami.
What's Hello. Up, Chris? I thought we were talking before. Like, is this my first words on the show? Or are people?
No.
Oh, I know. I'm just kidding.
Cold open.
I know. You told me that before. I just wanted
All
to
right,
throw
there
wrench.
We go.
I just wanted
wacky,
to
wacky, make... wild card, yes. Power cable. Chris Cody bringing the wackiness just
I'm
right
back.
From the jump.
Yes.
Yeah. Sports Jason is brought to you by BetUS. You can use promo code SportsAdjacent, all one word, to get 125% sign up bonus at BetUS.com.
Yep. Does Chris get in trouble?
No. Question for later, Russ. Question for later, Russ. Chris is on mute during this part.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
But Chris Cody is presented by Sheets and Giggles, I believe,
right? Damn right I am.
Still? That's still going?
That's still going. Best damn sheets I've ever had in my life. Sheets and Giggles, 20% off.
Right.
Promo code Dan, I think. I don't know.
Is it with a question mark? Does it have to have a question mark at the end, like you just said it?
You hear the way I'm selling this product? I mean, why wouldn't companies are lined up? Like, when my Twitter handle when Sheets and Giggles gets off my Twitter handle, there are companies just lining out the door. I love it.
We actually have some huge show news to get into, but I want one more minute on this if we don't mind.
No, for sure, please. This is way more important.
Like, all right, all due respect, there was a point where you were kind of just Greg Cody's kid.
That's
How
right.
did you go from being Greg Cody's kid to signing an endorsement deal?
being as like you see how you guys were cackling about a minute ago. That's why.
Yeah. Okay. That's there you why. Go. He brings the funny. He brings the funny.
I have no idea to answer your question, but I'll take it. Let's do this.
It is really interesting that you're here. It's by chance that it happens on a day when we have huge show news to address. And I'm going to hand it over to you here, Russ. Go ahead, man.
Why?
Well, you want me to interview you about it?
Ooh.
I mean, I don't
Chris
think
Cody. Okay, so Chris Cody already knew about
this. Chris doesn't care about this.
No, he knew about it. I heard the news. I brought it up. Like, this is
okay. Let me Chris set it up a little better then.
Let me set it up a little better for you.
Okay, so I wanted to just leave it to you. I don't want to dictate how this comes out from you. Chris Cody told me today that he saw your tweet that you are leaving the Chicago Sun-Times.
True.
Which I have mixed feelings about because I even though we don't really work together there, I love being there with you, being teammates in that regard.
For sure.
This has raised – you did not say what's coming next, so everybody's wondering.
We've gotten a lot of questions about whether our podcast, whether Sports Jason's going to keep going.
So is this the last episode? Is Chris Cody on for our last finale here, or are we going to keep going? Can we at least know that part? Because I count on these paychecks.
Well, if you're counting on this Sports Adjacent checks, we got other problems, buddy. The pod will keep going.
Okay, thank God.
Until right. further notice. Like, I don't
We're back
think,
on, Chris.
Yeah, you can tell Ashley checks are coming in. Yeah. Pod's still going. And it was actually the thing that helped me get the next job. They were like, look, we love what you're doing, your podcast. That's good. The type of stuff we want to bring to this new venture. Actually, I think I can say it because I will have put the tweet out about me, the new place.
This episode will come out Thursday morning.
I will tweet this, what I'm about to say, on Wednesday. I am going to be the national MLB insider at Bally Sports and Stadium Network. And I am going to be doing a 5-day-a-week show at Stadium, name to be determined.
On TV.
On TV, yeah.
Let's go.
It's huge.
That's huge. Awesome. Congrats.
Huge.
Man, I appreciate it.
I got a concerned text at one point today, like, oh, no, what's going on with Russ? And I'm like, oh, no, you have no idea.
No, it's good.
Quite the opposite.
It's been a crazy couple of days. And Jason, you found out before the world did. And I get a text from Jason the other day once everything was finalized, like, hey, man, there were some times over the last couple of weeks it looked like you were going to throw up. And I was just like, well, listen, buddy, I was. Now, it's nice to know that everything's settled. I've held this for a couple weeks now, and I'm just glad everything's kind of resolving itself. Show starting at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. So a lot of good things coming. I'm excited. But also, like, really grateful that I got to work at the Sun-Times for 2 years and cover the Chicago Cubs and be a kid from Chicago, write for a paper in Chicago, and do that. So, oh, and I don't have to leave the city either. So, for people who are concerned, I'm still going to be here. It's the best part.
Everything originates out of the studios at the United Center.
Correct. And then I'll be still writing about baseball regularly, but nationally, and, you know, traveling, doing interviews, et cetera, et cetera.
It's huge news, man. It's an enormous climb for you. I mean, I want to say a huge break, but in a way, it's like this. Everything was kind of leading towards something like this either way. I think if it wasn't this, it had been something similar to it somewhere else. I mean, it's no surprise that people want you to be a personality on their network.
Stock is definitely up in Russ Dorsey LLC. I'll tell you that much, buddy.
Are you gonna Stugatz this and like look for your cut? I mean, they said it was the podcast that like maybe 90-10 his way.
Like, you know, they definitely said it. They said, hey, we love what you do on the podcast.
I should start sniffing around for like a finder's fee or something with this. Yeah.
Like, hey, I am 50% of that podcast. So
I discovered Russ Dorsey. Yeah, that's right. After he was already like 5 years into his career.
I actually want you to pull that in court and be like, Your Honor, I was friends with Russ after he got into the business. And I think I'm entitled to a percentage.
That's right. Yes.
You and my agent should get the same thing.
There you go. Chris, you're a TV star. You got any advice for Russ as he begins this part of his career?
Just be an example. Well, see, like, my show is so stupid that like the advice I would give you would be terrible advice, probably. I mean, you're five.
Right. He wants to do a good job. The show you're doing
5 days a week, is this going to be like, is information stuff like more than just like opinion stuff? Like, are you allowed to like.
It will be that style roundtable format, not just baseball, it'll be all sports.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be, I don't want, how do I say this? Well, Dan doesn't work at ESPN anymore, so I can say it. Yeah. I don't want to be like a first take, right? Like, that's right. Not what the show is. And when I was talking to them about it, it was like, look, guys, I don't want this to be that. I want it to be something more. And I'm a reporter. Like, I'm going to give you information. Yeah. I'll do it with personality and fun, but like, I'm going to tell you what's going on. And so they were all for that. And that's what we're going to hope to bring to people every day.
Yeah, I would say just my advice would be do all that good information stuff. But when there's little moments of like levity, like just soak in it for a few minutes and like, don't be afraid. I mean, I guess on this type, maybe you shouldn't do that. See, I know this is just bad. Like,
just, they want fun, you know, though. No, they want fun.
Like, just, I just would say like, have fun with it. That's what I would say. That's my most generic advice. That's not going to get you in any trouble. Have some fun with it.
Works for me, man.
That's and awesome. develop like a go-to move, like blending two words together, right,
yep.
Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Signature. That's Chris. Yeah. Russ, just in case you're not aware, that's Chris's, like, step back jumper.
My stumper, kind of. Kind of like something like that.
Got it.
But basically,
zero
like,
zero step.
Don't that's be. His, people love Kirk fast
Nowitzki,
food.
One-legged three. Yeah. That's his move.
People love fast food talk too. Don't be afraid to just bust out with like, right. What's your favorite go-to?
Good.
You know, drive-through order. At a fast food restaurant.
So, like, they're asking, the topic is what's wrong with
C-block.
The Cowboys, and they want Russ to talk about
I'm thinking
Taco Bell.
C-block. That's okay, I'm thinking right. C-block, though. Don't worry. Let's okay. bury it a little bit.
Look, it's a 90-minute show, so we got time to develop.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah. You'll figure it out.
Okay.
I mean, I'm like a podcast producer. I have no idea. I've
no,
never worked
no,
on television
this valuable,
before.
This is valuable feedback, man. Valuable feedback.
You already know this because I've said this to you privately in many different ways many times, but I am incredibly happy for you. And, you know, I know this will sound weird, but I'm like super proud of you about this, man. This is awesome.
Thank you, man. I think the coolest part about the last day, couple days when people hear this, is just like the outpouring of support from people who have seen me, whether it's write every day in the paper, write stories, go on TV, goof around on Twitter, like whatever. I'm like, man, I'm really sad that you're leaving the paper because I love reading you, but like, I'm really excited for this next thing. I don't look at it myself as being something as significant as it might be, and that may be part of my my fatal flaw. Hopefully not fatal though. I don't think of things as being that big and that significant. I try not to and keep everything kind of in perspective, but I really appreciate that. And that people like read my stuff every day, even after 2 years of working at the paper, is crazy. The fact that people know me off of Twitter is crazy. Like, me and Chris have followed each other on Twitter for like a year and a half, right? Yeah. Never met in person, but like, that's cool. And, and the fact that people care and people reached out, it's awesome.
I think what you also saw, and Chris, you probably have experienced some of this with you guys' success in Miami. I think what you also saw, Russ, or at least I observed from afar, is how many people that know you that are so happy for you to have success and to see you, quote unquote, make it in a way that all of us have certainly thought you're capable of and certainly expected.
No, man, you want to make people proud that believed in you from the beginning when you didn't have all the success and notoriety and people that follow you and all that, like people who are just like, I believe in what you're doing. Like that's been the best part for me. And like to tell like my mentor that I got this job last week and like all this other stuff has been awesome. And shout out to my parents, for holding me down for a long time and dealing with me and believing in me from the beginning. And like my brother, I'm not gonna cry on my podcast, so I'm gonna make sure I get that out of the way.
His family supports his career, Chris.
They support my career, Chris. They really do. And but like having them in my corner, like this process wasn't as easy as I probably wanted it to be. It was a lot more stressful, and just getting through that, they helped me with it a lot. So thank you to my folks, my brother, and everybody that's supported me since the beginning, since before I even got into sports media and journalism and all that stuff. Appreciate you guys.
And let's stick it to the assholes in high school too, right? The people we don't too. Like, look at me now. Look at me now.
There we go.
I'm on TV every day. See, that's the advice, Chris. That's why we're bringing you on here. So that's what we need to add.
95% of it should be what you said, but at the last 5%, that's right. What about you?
95% humble and gratitude. 5% you guys.
I remember you, Jack Miller.
Isn't that basically the Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech? Isn't that the template?
Everybody,
for that?
Yeah. Everybody who started over me, that right. One guy that I don't remember your name. Yes.
You'd be saying that to almost no one, Russ, because almost everyone who knows you has been rooting for something like this.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not the, that dude. But there, I will say there were some editors as I got my start who were like, nah, bro, I definitely still keep those right here on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. What about you, Jason? Do you have people rooting? You keep like wanting him to like name downfall? People. Like, do you have people that root against you, Jason? Like, are there people that like
haters? You mean some hateration?
I feel like there's some haters out there, but like, I feel like it's rare where somebody is just like, my goal in life is to make sure Jason Leisure doesn't make it in life.
Mm. I do think a lot of people like get mad at Jason, so there might be a lot more out there than we imagine.
Honestly,
People get mad at me like all Bears season. I've covered the Bears 3 seasons now, and they get mad at me throughout the whole season until it gets to the end, and now they're like on my side. That's every season of the Bears. Every season I spend all season telling you guys, this isn't good. And they're like, shut up, we like the Bears. And then at the end, they're like, oh man, this isn't good. Someone should have told us.
I need you to let me know by the end of this. This is like the least interesting thing that we said this entire podcast. I have the ability to keep Justin Fields in a keeper league, and I need you, like, is he good? Like, is that something I should, like, it'd be like a late round pick that I'm giving up. Like, do I want him? Is he going to be decent next year?
That's not the show we do, Chris. Thank you. Russ's dad is always tweeting at me. I wonder if you guys have some common ground on your dad's.
My dad.
Just embarrassing me. That's what my dad does. Other than giving
Russ's
my
dad
job.
Is a good tweeter. Yeah.
No, my dad's okay.
That's surprising at 66 years old, my dad's out here tweeting. Like, I'm actually concerned. And then when Jason texted me, it was the first thing I woke up to. He's like, your dad's a really good tweeter. It's like, what is going on in the world?
There's nothing more. The pressure of, like, is this tweet a good tweet or not before you send is an interesting feeling. Of, like, there's nothing worse than when you feel like a tweet's going to do well and then...
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
The thing with my dad is like I don't want my dad to get canceled. So it was like I can't. Dude. Like I know the concept of cancellation. Same. My dad is 60 something. Like he might say something that he and usually I don't worry about him. But like you never know what he thinks is cool. That I'm like, Dad, that is not cool. And now people are like, Russ, is this your father? And I'm like, now I have to shun my dad publicly.
Yeah.
For something podcast, he didn't even know about.
Podcasts are a very beautiful thing for an old, like I do a podcast with my dad and it's much better than if I was doing live radio. I love the ability to be able to edit something that he said.
We definitely know about that.
I love when I see Ricky Dorsey pop up in my tweets. I don't think he tweets a lot of his own separate tweets. I think it's
he likes the replies. Yes.
Yeah, which is fine, which is a great way to use Twitter.
And I think so too.
He's always very sharp. I love his tweets, man.
That's
why I texted you. Your dad's a good tweeter.
No, he.
Were you worried when you woke up to that text message? Like, oh no, what did he do?
I was not concerned, but I'm like, what did he say that made Jason say this at 6:30 in the morning? Because that's sidebar. Like when Jason texts me, I don't wake up until 11. Jason is up at like 5:30, and so then. The time between the text and the response is usually like 5 hours. Yeah. And in my head, I'm just like, what made Jason at 6:30 in the morning? But also, my dad gets up really early, so he probably replied to something.
That's probably it, yes. Right, I wake up at a normal grown-up time.
I am very jealous of 11 a.m., by the way. I have not slept to 11 in a long time.
Well, see, here's the it's the benefit of being a beat reporter that I'm actually...
You're working games at night.
I'm not that anymore. Yeah, working games at night. Now, having a show in the studio every day, like, I'm going to have to be... I told my mom this morning, I'm like, I'm going to have to be, like, at the studio at, like, 11:30. Yuck. And she's just like, you do know, like, when I used to go to work, I got on the train at 5:15 in the morning. And I'm like, huh, that sucks.
I got to be in the studio at 7:40.
That what time sucks. Don't you live? Don't you live up north a little bit? Like,
yeah.
How early do you have to get up to make that happen?
I give myself an hour. Like, you know, I can get there in 40 minutes of traffic because I kind of go before the rush hour, kind of.
There is no before the rush hour.
Well, you know, yeah, you're right. It's very crowded, but it doesn't get that crazy. I generally leave my house 6:40, get there 7:40.
How many shows are you on right now, Chris? You're on the main show, and you have one with your dad. What's that one called?
That's the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. It's a Miami Herald podcast.
Why is it not the Greg Cody Show with Chris Cody? Wouldn't that make
because
more sense?
It's a narcissist. My dad's a narcissist, so we're kind of just like playing off that. It's really like such a ridiculously self-absorbed podcast. My dad just likes to talk about like what he like his day. He thinks everything he does is interesting. See, it's the opposite of Russ's dad because he actually is good and like says some things that you're like, oh, my dad is just like, I got coffee this morning and then I went to Dunkin' Donuts and you know he's just like saying his day and he thinks it's interesting. Anyway, so yeah, check it out. Was that a good recommendation for the podcast?
No.
Yeah, and then I'm on a couple Metalark ones. I produce Cinephile with Adnan Verk. Okay,
movie one, yeah.
Yeah, movie podcast. And then I'm on the Mystery Crate. Like that's kind of like the Shipping Containers podcast.
Okay. So,
This is my question for Chris, though, before we go here. How much pull do you have at Metalark, Chris? Like, could you say, hey, man, I think we have somebody that we need to pull in. Could you...
It's very collaborative. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, you send things and they just kind of disappear and you don't ever get responses on it. But like, no, like it's a very collaborative, like, you know, they're trying to turn this company into a company that creates big time like documentaries for like, you know, and sell them to the Netflixes and Apples of all the world. So there's been plenty of meetings where it's like, you guys got any ideas for talent? Docs, like sports docs, you think that haven't been made that like we are
new podcasts. Russ, are you going to pitch them Hogan Johns or what's going on?
Yes, new podcasts.
Hogan Johns?
Also, new podcasts.
Jason,
also.
You know everybody over there.
Yeah. I mean, trust me. Like, I'll put in a good word. I just, you know.
Okay. Hey, man.
I'm just gonna let you know I haven't had a ton of success. There hasn't been a lot of biting on the fishing lines that I've been throwing out there so far.
We just want to get a shot up. That's all. I'm cool going 0-for-1 from the field as long as we took the shot. Because what a Deion way to say it. Like I could go 0-for-10, but I'd rather go 0-for-10 than 0-for-5 because that meant I lost confidence. I stopped shooting.
Yeah. I always, when in doubt, I always tell myself do as Deion Waiters would do.
Hey, man. Good way to live.
Chris, I do want to ask you about your show a little bit. And one of the things that you brought up was we're asking you to play a bigger role today because it's three of us as opposed to, what is it, 8 or 9 on your
guys' depends
main
on
show?
The day. It depends on the day, you know, because of all these projects. Like we all, like the way I have a few projects, we all do. So we all get dragged out at times. So, but yeah, there's always at least 5 to 6 people that are ready to shoot if we're using that analogy.
You do have like a big three. You have three people that are going to take the majority of the shots on this team. How do you decide how do you best explain your judgment of when it's time for a Chris Cody moment? When is it time for Chris Cody to jump in?
That's a good question. It's just it's over like now it's gotten to a place where we're such in like a we're flowing that I have such a better feel for that now than ever. Like we're a lot of like eye contact. If I have a quick little line, it could be Mike is talking and Dan's about to go next, but I know I have a little window if I just want to slip something in. And it's, you know, it's basically just my role is just to bring the comedy. So if we're doing a segment that's very serious, I know late in that segment, I'm looking for the joke. Like the entire time I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what can I do at the end of this that will, you know, throw that curveball? Because that's what if a segment is just serious the entire time, you got to end on a joke or something. So like that's my sweet spot. That's why like I feel pressure here because like right now when I end up talking for longer than a minute, you get this kind of answer where I'm just kind of rambling. I'm not.
Well, this is interesting.
No, I know I'm being self-deprecating, but it's just like my sweet spot. My sweet spot is just like I have a joke here. I just feel that's my sweet spot. So.
Yeah.
I get insecure about when I have the ball in my hand for an extended period of time.
But you have an extremely high hit rate.
When
you do shoot, you shoot well.
Yes, I agree, and I've gotten better with it. And it's one of the things that I'm kind of in the Stu Gatz lane, where if I'm bad, it works out. Then Dan will be like, "That was not funny. You're terrible. Go to the ocean." And then we just had a funny moment on the show for something that I didn't do that was funny. So it's like, even when I'm bad, it gets made fun of, and that's good. And when I'm good, I'm good. So it's hard to lose with the setup that I kind of have.
Chris, would you ever do anything as unprofessional as eating a sandwich the size of a baby on the show, or rattling around your spoon in a cup of ice cream and slurping it up?
The noise is a little odd. I mean, I will definitely eat during the air. Like, I'll be snacking, because that just kind of fits my character on the show as well. Like,
okay, right.
So you're not going to get any pushback on me on taking a little bite during the show.
But as a producer, and of an audio platform, you know to mute your mic before you do it.
Yes, of course, of course. Yeah. But, you know, in this Zoom world, we've all done the thing where we think we're muted. Like, I can't, if it's a one-time thing, I can overlook it. But if it's like a consistent pattern, then we might need to, you know, have a talk. But no,
the guy we're referring to, our esteemed producer, Anthony Gill, he's aware.
Maybe he's doing a bit. Maybe it's funny. Maybe he's doing
the
comedy thing.
I'm telling you, he did a segment eating a sandwich the size of your child, Chris, and there was literally we also have a video component to our podcast. There was literally mayo. In his facial hair.
It would be very disingenuous of me to criticize a producer that's getting laughs by like eating mayo. Kind of my role on the show. So like I want to steal this guy from you guys. Like,
see,
honestly.
I'm pissed because I know he's sitting here listening to this as he's editing. Like, yes, I knew. I told those bastards. That's exactly what we want.
Send me your
especially
resume.
Because,
I'm a big fan.
Especially because this is one of his heroes, Russ. Like, he adores Chris Cody. Couple weeks we started this. Well, but Chris in particular, Tony has been on me for almost a year to get Chris Cody on our show.
Wow. See, and I like him. I said that before I even knew that. I mean, me and this guy, I need his info. I'm going to need to.
Wait, can we trade? Can we get Chris and then Tony take Tony?
Oh, we are the salary cap.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like,
numbers do not match up there, Russ.
Hold on now,
Chris,
brother.
Presented by Bet Us. Chris, brought to you by Bet Us. And it's a decent link to it.
BET. Chris is sponsored by BET.
Russ, I don't know how much of the story of their show you followed, but I find Chris's role in all this extremely interesting, because they were on ESPN. They were the most popular show ESPN had. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, Chris, but essentially ESPN reached in unexpectedly, fired Chris.
See,
calling it.
I was just going to make sure you get the lingo right. Let go.
Let Chris go. Like claiming, you know, budgetary whatever.
It was one of those
duties.
It was one of the sweeps when like they made news ESPN's about to lay off 250 people type thing. Like
threw Chris Cody's name in there, and their show basically revolted.
Yeah.
And said, "You can't do this." And that was the beginning of the end of them with ESPN. And then everybody saw the jackpot landmark deal that they got coming out of it.
The real 50 mil. I always tell Dan. I like to remind Dan of that. Dan did what they didn't like. You know, you think when you have a Dan Le Batard, it's his show. If you're gonna make a cut, you say, where are we making? Like, not that I wanted someone else to get it, but they didn't do that. They just made a decision without saying anything to him. So that was like the disrespect that he, you know. And like, now a running bit on the show is that it's my fault we left ESPN. When really, like, the analogy I like to use is, there was a bad marriage and I was a child, and it's like now the child is being blamed for like
broke up.
Trust me, I've lived in this household for years. This marriage was ending. Okay,
it's going nowhere, buddy.
Maybe the
kids always know, don't they? The kids can tell something's off.
Maybe
they don't know the details. Yeah, they know something's not right. The kids.
Maybe the thing involving me was the last thing, but I'm not the reason that this happened. That's like the analogy I like to use. But yes, we left because of like I think they did one more show after it happened to me. It happened in like late November. They did one more show because we had a holiday break planned. We did one more show on January 4th, like a goodbye show. But it was that was the final straw, as they say.
Well, just so Tony knows as he listens to this, we're not doing that for you. If Lawrence reaches into the show and fires you for budgetary reasons, we're just going to see if Chris Cody will produce the show on,
yeah,
on the side.
Yeah, I was Chris, so.
Chris, yeah, real question here.
Edit.
Real question for you here. How did you
real
feel
answer.
In the how did you feel in the middle of all that?
It was a lot going on, man. Dude, it was the worst. Like, Dan made me feel really relieved really quick, but there was probably a 12-hour period where I was like, okay, I'm going to have to, like, you know, the thing is that when I announced it on Twitter, because Dan wanted to turn the whole thing into content, like Dan and I was interested in parting ways with ESPN in a way that 15 years from now, I'd like to maybe be able to come back here. Like, I wanted to take their, I understand. Thank you for the 5 or 6 years. Like, I wanted to do it that way.
Doors open.
And yeah. Dan was like, don't tell. Like, he wanted to reveal this on the air. Like, he didn't want me to reveal it on Twitter before. And I, like, pushed back on it. And I ended up revealing it on Twitter before we ever went to air. Because I was like, I at least want to get my message out there. If once I go back with Dan, he wants to, you know, blow up the whole thing with ESPN, at least I have my statement of, like, hey, I appreciate. So when I tweeted out that I was one of the people, dude, the Twitter back, like, you know, it was insane. Like, so I was made to feel good by all the positive people, like, yep, saying that it was bull crap, but. Oh, there was tears. I was like calling my dad and I was trying to be like, I'm just going to eat it. I'm going to be tough. But it was like I would say a good like 24 hours of like before Dan was like, I'm going to hire you. You're good. Like but for that 24 hours, it was terrible. It was like my whole life was like, oh, this thing I've been building for 5 years, I think it's done. I started doing stock market. I was like, I need to
all in 12 hours.
Where's all my money? I was like, where's all my money? I need to diversify.
Like, what's liquid? What can I liquidate?
I was like, I've never been, this is a new experience for me. I had something going and now it's all gone. Like, where's all my money?
Chris, though, on the flip side of that, though, you had everybody in the room having your back in that moment.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, it also, once I announced it on Twitter and I got, like, and all the DMs too, like.
Yeah, but the people you know, the people on the show had your back.
Yeah. I mean, they were. Dan.
Unless they didn't. That makes it sound like they didn't.
Well, like, hold the on. Way you, I was thinking of, like, the Roys and the Billies. They were all just like, shit, sorry, man. But, like, yes, like, Dan and them. Like, Dan called me right away and was like, you're good. Like, I'm going to hire you as my assistant. Because that's what he did, is he hired me as his assistant. Yeah. Like, you know, quote, unquote. And was like, he's going to still be on the show, but he's just, I'm paying him and he gets a raise. Dan did the thing just to stick it to them. Was like, you know, and he's getting a raise. Ah, what a time. It was like, what a roller coaster of emotion. That's what that 48 hours was.
Do you, how does it feel now? Does it feel like that's over and now you guys are rolling again the way you want to? You feel back comfortable and settled in? And
yep. It was a rough, like, the first 5 or 6 months of the new company. It was just like, we were just changing, like, the way we were doing stuff. And since we were on radio with ESPN, we were still deciding, are we still going to do a format that sounds like radio, but that's just a podcast. So there was like an adjustment period. And, but we've finally found a groove now and we're able, since we have so many people, like, we can kind of go and shift some. So we're able to work on our other projects. So we're not overworked. Cause there was a time when we were doing the show 5 days a week and we had other projects, but now we've able to lighten the load for some of us during the week so we can have time to do the other stuff. So we found a nice groove. They brought in a lot of people to help, like, manage the situation. There's way more meetings at Meadowlark than there ever were at ESPN. A lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of just checking ins, but we're more organized now. We're better for it, even though it's, you know, sometimes can be a lot. Inside the Levitard show, inside stuff. Behind the scenes, PTS. What else do you want to know? See, I'm feeling awkward. You guys just sat there.
We usually just kind of let our segments come to their natural conclusion.
Okay, good. Okay.
Sometimes our guests don't know that, and they just feel like they have to fill the space.
Awkward.
Because here, I was going to say this. Like, we've gotten much more insight from Chris than we got from Billy.
Billy does the thing. Billy's perfect in this setting. He's good at being like, I didn't. I heard. I actually
he was
did.
So
I, yeah,
weird.
I did.
He
I
was
did
so
hear.
Weird.
He was.
He was so weird.
He was fine.
Was he shticky weird or was he genuinely weird?
I don't think it's ever shtick with him because I've spent time with him off air and it's. Yeah. I think it's
this
the same.
This is what it was. It was a kid with ADHD that had playtime with three other kids who also have ADHD and they record a podcast together. That's what it was.
It was like having two Tonys, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Our producer and him are identical.
So is Tony here listening to this and just I can't see him or not so that I
Tony,
want to?
Go ahead, Russ.
Shout out to our guy Tony who got engaged this weekend and we'll have a full deep dive when he comes back. He's on sabbatical right now.
We don't know when that's going to be.
When he comes back?
They might already be married by the time we do a breakdown of the engagement. We're going to have you do it. You were there.
I was there. Me, Lawrence, friends and family. But no, I talked to him and I told him we'll have the deep dive when he comes back and hopefully it's soon. We're not rushing him, but Tony, get your ass back in here. So he's on his sabbatical right now. His PTO that we do not give him legally here at Sports Adjacent.
I mean, geez, I guess I wasn't that big a deal, though. You'd think he'd come back. I mean, geez. I mean, right. I thought he really wanted to. You know, Jason said he really liked me.
His guy's here, and then boom, no Tony.
Yeah. It's all right. I get it.
You weren't worth coming off sabbatical for.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I guess I wouldn't leave vacation for me either.
He told me there was something else I was supposed to tell you. Now I can't remember it. Like you guys didn't give him a T-shirt or something. I don't remember what it was.
There was a time where I was supposed to send a lot of T-shirts, and
definitely what it was. It was.
I may have let a few fall through the cracks.
Just throw them away.
It was not personal. No, it was just I had a lot of them. There was just a long list of people, and you know, there's cracks. You know, there's cracks in the floor sometimes. Things fall that you don't intend for them to fall. Like you just,
I picture these all over the floor of your back seat of your car, Chris.
Yeah. I don't know.
I remember what it was that Tony, I remember his gripe with you guys is when I started doing the Lawrence Holmes show up here, when I moved here, Tony was the producer on his show and Tony had tried to get clips from when I was on your show to build like an intro or something for
my
weekly spot. And well, I don't know if Mike really said no, it was more ESPN policy. Was that?
Yeah.
No.
But I believe that's something I would have gone to Mike and then Mike. Yeah. So because I guess
he hasn't let that go. I guess Tony's still mad about that.
I do remember that.
Completely not you guys' fault.
I remember that, and I remember sending it up the chain. And what can I do, man? I gotta know. Like, I'm sorry, Tony. But in hindsight, that's one of those things. This is like a producer. Ready? This is something he should learn. Mm-hmm. Assess the risk. Sometimes.
All right,
it's better to ask
there,
for
Chris. That's it. Because
Better to ask.
We need to proceed with this. We need to proceed.
It's better to ask for. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Sometimes.
Oh, nope. Never mind. Nope.
See, I told you, Jason. I knew where he was going, and
I thought Chris.
We can't afford
Chris
that, Chris. Like we're gonna get sued, and then Jason and I have to pay.
I thought like professional producer of a major show, Chris Cody, was gonna give him good advice. Chris, our producer Tony is already steering way too hard in that direction. We need to pull back on that.
When I was at ESPN, we won't play something Fox because that's like a direct competitor. Like,
right.
Do you think is ESPN going to be like doing a search? Like, you know what I mean? I think you're good. Like me, and I'm not being disrespectful. My dad's podcast.
Well, you are a little.
I let it fly on my dad's podcast. We do parody songs. We do everything on my dad's podcast. That's a Miami Herald podcast. Like, I'm telling you you don't have to you're going to be fine on a little tiny clip that there's nothing that's ESPN. Like there's no, like, what are they going to like? It's just
Chris,
you.
No,
it's as long as Dan's not like, I wouldn't have
you're
a thing with
so unhelpful right now.
I wouldn't have
listen to all this. He adores you. He's going to be like, well, Chris, I'm going to do as Chris Cody does.
If it's
I'm
a
like
clip,
Chris Cody and them have a lot more money than we have in sports. Yeah. LLC, but
if it's a clip just of Jason talking on the Levitard show from 7 years ago, and it's just Jason isolated, that's like, who's like, what, you're going to go into court. You think there's going to be a trial where it's like, dun, dun, dun. Jason, is this clip, was this you on the Levitard show 17 years ago? Oh, yes, it was. You owe us $48. Dun, dun,
and
dun.
You have to take down all your episodes.
I roll the dice on my dad's podcast. I'm just being honest.
Okay. Here's the thing, Chris. That's good advice for Tony Gill.
The problem with Tony is he'll take like the biggest sound bites in sports, throw them on the pod.
No,
like, bro,
you don't want to
have licensing for that.
Yeah, you don't want to steal like Monday Night Football music. Like that's what I mean. You don't want to use like music that's used on other broadcasts, and you don't want to do live. Like you don't want to do Joe Buck and Tony Romo like live broadcasts, but like. Clips from shows that are like very quick snippet things. I honestly like do think you'd be fine if it's. I wouldn't put Dan in your open, but if it's just you, isolated, I think you're good. I'm being honest there.
Okay, well, that's not our policy here at this company.
I'm gonna send our invoice for our attorney when we get sued because right. Tony yeah. doesn't follow directions. I'm gonna send it to you, Chris.
No, yeah, send it to Mr. 50 Mil over here.
Right.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, Russ Dorsey here from Sports Adjacent. I want to give you my picks this week. First week of wild card round in the NFL. Got a couple of picks for you. Hope we can make some money. So first game I want to go over, Las Vegas Raiders at the Cincinnati Bengals. Look, a lot of offense in this game. Joe Burrow's last two games that he's played, he's thrown for over 1,000 yards. That offense is hot. Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, Derek Carr and company, they're going to have to keep up. 49 is the number for points total in that game. I'm taking the over. A lot of points scored, a lot of offense. I wouldn't be surprised if we see 600 yards of total offense in this game. So press the over. Vegas against Cincinnati. Then next game, New England against Buffalo. New England, it just feels like we're due for an upset. Buffalo, really good team, not as good as they were last year. New England plus 170. Money line, I think that's good value. Think we're feeling the upset. Make yourself a little bit of money. Last game I'm looking at this weekend, Monday, Arizona Cardinals against the LA Rams. Arizona at plus 170 as well. The Rams haven't quite found who they are yet. Obviously, they have a lot of star power. But the Cardinals, even with all their injuries, I think they have a shot in this game. Kyler Murray and the boys, I think they have a shot to upset the Rams here and my boy Cooper Kupp. So, plus 170 on the money line, riding with the Cardinals, try to make us some money, some value there. As always, use promo code SPORTSADJACENT at BetUS.com. Get yourself a 125% sign-up bonus after you deposit your first $50. Good luck with your bets. Let's make some money.
Okay, should we go to our
actual insider now, our national
right.
insider?
Yes.
Let's use the ESPN MLB Baseball Tonight music if we can get that, Tony.
Stop
put
it,
that
stop
right
it.
Under here.
No, and you do not get to. No.
And here comes the cease and desist.
You're not even allowed to. You're going to get sued. They won't even care that we did it. They're going to be mad at you.
No, they definitely suing you, Chris.
You think they like you or Dan?
You guys are living scared.
Well, we're living paid
yes.
too.
Right, there we go.
Yes, let's check in right now with our newly minted. He's our insider, but now I guess we'll share him with Bally's, our baseball insider. Russ Dorsey, let's get an update on the baseball labor strife, the situation. Are the players still locked out?
Yes, but there's a meeting.
Usually these
today.
Are just yes or no.
Yeah, well, today we have context, Jason.
Okay, all right. Let's do it.
No, they're not. Yes, they're still locked out, but there's a meeting today, the day we dropped the pod on Thursday, that would be January 13th, to talk about what was minted core economics. So we'll see what that means. Probably.
What does that mean? That sounds like a class.
It means everybody's gonna be mad, and then we won't have baseball for a while.
Okay.
So that's our MLB update.
Is you know, you're supposed to be an MLB insider. What if there's no MLB?
Well,
what are you going to do?
At least I'm on a show 5 days
a week. Yeah, you got the other show. That's right.
Yeah. It works out.
Did you guys see? Go ahead, Chris.
I heard Jeff Passan on ESPN the other day say he's seen weirder things than pitchers and catchers not reporting on time. And I was like, what are the weird shit that Jeff Passan's seen? Like, I want to know the weirdest shit Jeff Passan's ever seen.
In baseball or like in life?
Like that, I actually DM'd him, not to be the name dropper of a guy that has DM'd with Jeff Passan, but I DM'd him. I was like, I want to know the weird shit you look at that's worse than pitchers and catchers not reporting on time. He didn't respond.
I was hoping for the response.
You guys see the big return of Klay Thompson to the NBA after at least, was it 2 years or more off?
2 years.
More, I think.
Three?
I just think it's more than two calendar years is what I mean. I don't think we had seen him since the 2019 finals.
Right.
And came back, had 17 points. I was watching the highlights. I saw this after I got back to my hotel room after the Bears game on Sunday in Minnesota. The highlights made it look like he made every shot. And then check later, and it wasn't quite
that. They often do that. Those highlights
wasn't quite like that. Yes, they do. That's actually a fair point.
But I Klay Thompson. Do you guys do this with a player comes?
Scored 50 off the highlights of this, and then it turns out he scored like 17. Go ahead.
Do you do this with players when they're coming back from catastrophic injuries where it's like you're just scared they're going to get hurt again?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I don't even like to watch the first game back. I'm like, let me know it went well. It's like he just and I saw some piece with Steph Curry like narrating it. I'm like, now you guys are like building this thing up even more. It's like I'm just so worried about
that. I was nervous. Like, yeah, I agree.
It was a national game. Everybody was watching. I watched. And he comes out, makes the first shot. Place goes up. It's great. And then you realize, oh, they're only playing him 5 minutes a quarter. It's like, oh, that sucks. Yeah. And then in the third quarter, or at the end of the second,
that's why you watch the highlights, Russ.
Yeah. Yes, because then he makes every shot
flawless.
Right,
but then he finds a groove, gets hot, and goes on one of those Klay Thompson runs where he's hitting threes. He banged it on three guys. Like, it's really good, really good comeback.
I got nervous. To Chris's point, I got nervous. They showed the highlight package that they showed was starting with him being introduced. They're going through warm-ups, I think, and then being introduced.
When he went and jumped up against the basketball hoop?
That's the part. Right then and there, I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Even though it was nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing. I mean, it's nothing compared to, like, then later he dunked on some guy and lands in kind of a crowd of shoes on the floor. But, I was nervous right from that part when he went and kind of chest bumps the stanchion or whatever.
As soon as you said that, I was like, yep, me too. Same thing.
Land gently. Land like a feather. Russ, they were the best team in the NBA without him.
They were.
He's really, really good. I mean, that.
He came back game one off 20 minutes and scored 17 points.
Yeah, and he'll get better.
Yeah. It might be a wrap for the West.
I love having that team back because that team was so much fun to watch. I had no beef with them or anything. There's no hate watching with the Warriors. They were a fun style of basketball, an excellent style of basketball, great personalities, great players. And then it fell apart after that loss to Toronto. And a lot of times, man, the Heat have gone through this with, it was a little different because they lost LeBron, Chris, but like a lot of times when it goes, it doesn't come back.
Yeah, no. And like, you look at what they lost besides Klay, like you lose Klay for 2 years. Then you also had the best player in the world and Kevin Durant on that team. He leaves. Now it's just Steph and friends and him and Draymond. But then you get James Wiseman, the number one pick in the draft, and you get all these great role players. Jordan Poole, who was turned into a starter while Klay was out. Now he's going to be their sixth man. Like, they built a team while they were really bad, and now they get all these pieces back, and it looks like the throwback Warriors again. The teams from, 2013, 14, 15 – it's really good for basketball.
And they're so much more likable. They're so much more likable without KD too, at least to me. I don't know when they had KD. I don't know, just the way KD is with the media and like.
Yeah, did you have a problem with them forming a super team, Chris? Did you object?
No,
to that?
No, it has nothing to do with the super team aspect of it. The Heat did that. It's just, you know, maybe the Heat. You know, I was a Heat fan, so maybe the Heat weren't likable. But I don't know. I mean, the Heat, like, they're a big three. You know, Draymond's kind of a big three, so like they're still kind of a big three. And I don't know. I like the Warriors more without KD. I don't know. KD's very surly, and like he seems to have no time for the media or people on Twitter anymore. I don't know. I don't like people that take, like, I like fun people, and he doesn't seem to have a lot of fun.
He doesn't seem fun. That's true, Russ.
I like KD, man. Like, I'm a big KD.
Okay, I like his game too, but he doesn't seem fun.
Oh, I love his game. I love his game.
I don't think he'd be fun to hang out with compared to a lot of other guys.
In comparison with the guys in the league, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are like, ooh, he seems like he would be a fun guy to like go to the club with or whatever, or just hang out and talk to. Yeah, I guess I can see your point, but
I don't know. Just the way KD and Kyrie are like the only guys in the NBA that kind of just like, I don't know. There's just something about like, I don't know. There's something about their personalities that I don't know. That's it. I don't know.
Who else do you not like? What about in other sports? Who else do you just like, I can't. Football. I can't hang out with you.
Who do I not like in football? Who do I not like in baseball? I don't know. You're gonna have to like do some filling here. Okay. Let me think about it.
who are the polarizing personalities, Russ? What about like Russell Westbrook, Bryce Harper? Who else?
If we're gonna go in sports, I feel like Westbrook gets a bad rap.
Him I've always liked. He's very fiery. I don't know for some reason.
I think Draymond, it was a more nuanced individual where it's like, it's personas, right? When he steps on the court, he hits a switch and he becomes the Draymond that we see. And then he walks off the court, different guy. So I think there's some nuance there where people are like, oh, I hate Draymond. But it's like, it's a really nice guy. It's just who he is on the court. I think Chris Paul is like that. I think there's some of that with people that don't like Chris Paul.
Yeah,
for a lot of those same reasons.
I liked KD when he was with OKC. I'm trying to dissect now why I don't like it. I think it's because all the negative attention that he got with Golden State, like he kind of put his back up to that. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I can't blame him. I guess if I did something like that, and
he is a little surly. He's on the surly side.
But I liked him. Like, I love that. Like, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, even though they played the Heat in the finals and the Heat gave him the work. But I liked that team. Like, I liked KD. And you can't deny, I mean, he's so freaking good.
That team breaking up gave us three MVPs.
That's wild.
Like, it might be better for basketball history that they broke up than right together.
What would it have been if it didn't, though? It's an odd, like, Harden and Westbrook are like those two that it's like, can you win? Like, they're good. They're great.
It worked, though, right? Like, that was the first shot, their first bite at the apple, and they made it to the finals.
Yeah.
And then they didn't make it back. But, like, think if the Thunder picked James Harden over Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe we're talking about all three still being together and an OKC title. But, like, that history is going to look at it like they chose Serge Ibaka over James Harden. They traded him. Team broke up. Three MVPs. And I think it's better for – I think it was better for all three of their careers in terms of, like, individualism, where it's like – each guy, like James Harden, isn't who he is now or who he becomes the player if he's in the OKC, right?
I feel like Westbrook is the one guy that, like, you can make the argument if they probably might have wanted to keep that together. I mean, he did have his time when he was there alone in OKC, all the triple doubles, but not a ton of winning.
Yeah.
Here's one for you, Chris. How about Rodgers? How about Aaron Rodgers? This was a guy that was a staple of you guys' show
it
for a long time.
Into that, right?
Now there's been quite a bit lately. Like, what about him?
I mean, not to get political, but yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not someone who has, like, you know, turned on Aaron Rodgers as much as some people. Like, obviously, he clearly, you know, misled, and that was kind of shitty. But outside of that, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers is an interesting one, and now he's, you know, rebutting reports of him like boycotting the Super Bowl because now he's like, I'm out with the media. So now I'm going to do something that they might want to hear. Like, no, I'm not going to boycott. So he's trying to like get back in kind of, but he said a bunch of F words. So it's like,
we'll get to that later in the show. Russ, did you catch, now you probably didn't, why would you have caught this? But I was looking at a transcript of his media press conference last week. And there was some question where he, in the response, said something like, yeah, I addressed it the other day on McAfee. Like that now counts as like part of
his media availability.
And if you cover Green Bay, I guess you need to listen to McAfee every week whenever he's on, because you got to see what he's going to say on there. But I like how he refers to it as McAfee, like it's Howard Stern. Like, yeah, I said that on Stern.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think that's one that definitely became a thing this year, because I liked Aaron Rodgers for a long time, and it took a turn this year for a lot of different reasons. Like, he says it's because he's unvaccinated, and now people think he's some. I think there's just a lot that has come with that beyond that, where it's just like, all right, I'm good now.
He's got this whole persona going at this point.
And he, like, turned into the curve. Like, he's like, all right, I'll be this guy now. I'll be the villain. Cool.
How did we take a happy, triumphant Klay Thompson return segment and turn it into Aaron Rodgers' misery?
I think because I said I didn't like KD, and then we were like, who else do we not like?
Went down the rabbit hole.
I'm so negative. Chris, why are you
doing
that?
Yeah, you're doing the opposite of what we brought you on for. You're bringing the show way down right now.
All right. Forgive me. I'll do better.
You guys want to do football roundup?
Yes.
All right. Football roundup, which is brought to you by BetUS. You can use promo code SportsAdjacent and get a 125% sign-up bonus. It starts with...
Is there like country music playing, like a roundup? Like, what are we doing here? Like,
this is kind of what Tony thinks it's like Woody's roundup from the Toy Story movie. He usually, sings a song. Everything we do makes me miss Tony. Our first on football roundup is the Aaron Rodgers story that Chris alluded to, Russ. Who knew that Boomer Esiason was such a newsbreaker? Boomer Esiason, the new Adam Schefter, just always wrong.
Boomer Schefter?
Yeah. So after, quote, reporting that Matt Nagy had already been pre-fired, which, we all could have assumed that Matt Nagy was going to get fired, but I actually don't think he was literally told that until after that last game. He then reports that Aaron Rodgers would consider boycotting the Super Bowl over the COVID protocol. And apparently it was a prank, but it was enough to set off Aaron Rodgers. And Russ, I think this would be a good time. I think Tony would appreciate this tribute. One of Tony's signature segments is a reading segment here. And I think we should have Chris Cody, his hero, his mentor, do the reading segment. Let's hear from Aaron Rodgers, Chris.
And now,
Chris Cody
reads.
This is how I got my start with Sheets and Giggles, by the way, doing a read terribly. And I did it so bad that I drew a lot of attention to the company, and then they paid me money. So,
okay. Shiggles.
Hoping that happens here.
Okay. Tony doesn't do a great job of these either.
He doesn't. He actually does the worst job. The person we actually had do it last week was, or 2 weeks ago, was way better at it than Tony was.
Who was that? Who did such a good job on it? Was it Cam?
Cam was great.
All right, let's hear from Aaron Rodgers, Chris.
All right, so this is Aaron Rodgers responding to Boomer Esiason's report on the McAfee show.
Boomer who?
Well, so
what was that?
Boomer Esiason? Did I?
All right.
See, I get scared when I have to read. I'm telling you, this is not.
Jason, you're right. He did say like Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, damn it! I've been giving a lot less the last couple of years, but one thing I do give a major about is ridiculous narratives about me. I'm going to boycott the Super Bowl. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And he slapped down. Then he spiked.
What are they going to do for the Super Bowl? Are they just going to stop COVID testing, though? Because we had just in week 18, we had Justin Fields had to be scrubbed for the final game because he tested positive on a Thursday. Like, what happens when somebody tests positive on Thursday, February 9th or whatever that's going to be?
Jason, you said it for like the last 3 months that it's going to eventually turn into don't ask, don't tell with COVID protocols.
Yes.
And I definitely think that week of the Super Bowl, they're going to be like, hey, man, if you're not coughing, you don't have COVID. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Hey, you look awfully feverish. No, it's just hot out.
There's no way Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady is going to, like, on Friday of the Super Bowl, he doesn't have symptoms, but he will be entering the protocol.
No shot.
Like, just no shot.
Did you guys watch Chargers versus Raiders? Kind of a weird game.
Yes.
I watched it and I was kind of blown away by everybody trying to pretend like they thought everyone wanted a tie. It's like, it's not as fun as it's, everyone thinks it's going to be fun. That it, like, you just want them kneeling the whole game. The game we got was a lot better than if they just kneeled it the whole time. I hated everyone on Twitter beforehand trying to want them to just kneel the whole time. It's like, you think you want it, but you don't want that.
Yeah. See, that would have been dumb. Here's the thing. Like, Chris, like, I didn't think there was any shot that there would be a tie in that game. Right?
I know.
It's like, there's no shot that happens. Like, everybody wants it. It won't happen. And then we get to the end of regulation. It's like, all right, it's going to go to OT, but I still don't think it's going to happen. Then you get to the 2-minute warning in OT, and you're like, oh,
later
my God,
and later and later.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it's like, this is insane.
Did you see there's a video clip and they slow it down. You could see his lips moving with like 32 seconds left in the game. Justin Herbert on the sidelines mouthing the words, I've never wanted a tie so bad in my life.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, you could get in the playoffs with a tie. It's like, screw this game, man. I just want to play another week. And my coach thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And it changed the whole calculus for the Raiders. Where it's like, all right, we'll run a play now and get a first down or call a timeout and win the game.
To your point, like, it never made sense for the Raiders to want a tie. Because if they tied, they would have been going to Kansas City. And if they win, they're now going to Cincinnati. So, like, I would think that would be incentive enough for them to at least, like, let's go for the win. And then we'll have a tie as a fallback.
No, but everybody, Derek Carr said it after the game. Like, yo, we were going to probably run the clock out. But they called the timeout. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And if you're Brandon Staley, like, what are you thinking back in your office when you get there? Like, dude, we could be in the playoffs, and I call the timeout.
Yeah, yeah, I played chicken, and I shouldn't have. I never thought they were gonna just like kneel down and waste the whole game. Although maybe the Raiders would want to, because the Raiders would have a grudge with the NFL. But you'd need both teams to do it. But I was kind of thinking, Russ, going into it, about the type of scenario that actually ended up happening. What if we get down toward the end, and there's an opportunity to go for a tie and they both get in? I mean, you still need both coaches to kind of agree to it in a way, I guess, without actually discussing it. And we see how that
would be, like, a hat. It would be just like a
finger guns.
What would the signal be, Chris?
I think it's the tip of the cap. I think it's both coaches looking at each other from across the sideline, and they both at the same time tip of the cap, and it's just like, all right, we're gonna do it.
So if you're having this conversation, are you Staley, or are you I don't know the Raiders coach name, the interim coach.
Rich Bisaccia.
Thank you. Which one are you? And are you like telling him before the game? Or are you talking on Thursday? Like, how are you setting up this scenario where you guys are gonna be like, look, emergency option. If I lick my lips, that means go for the tie.
Yeah. I'm definitely working it before. Yeah. I'm like, hey, let's do the kneel thing. We'll kneel, we'll both go to the playoffs. And then with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I'm having Derek Carr fake a kneel and then try to throw it deep and go against the whole plan. And like late in the fourth quarter, after we've kneeled it it's the most ridiculous Sunday night broadcast in history with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth just narrating kneels for the entire game. And then they just fake kneel it, Dan Marino style, even though his was a fake spike. And then, boom, touchdown, Raiders win in the fourth quarter. That's what I want.
You're slippery, man. I like the idea, though, of like, hey, we're going to play this game straight up, Russ. But then, you know, if it gets later, the signal is caw-caw, caw-caw. Like, if I yell that across the sideline, it means, you know, we go for the tie.
In a stadium with 65,000, yes, caw-caw, caw-caw.
The hat you're wearing, well, Jason,
also be saying it.
You're wearing a California Angels hat, maybe like an Angels in the Outfield thing where it's just all of a sudden the whole sideline. What if both sidelines all of a sudden are doing Angels in the Outfield and then they're like, all right, we're going to both just go to the playoffs. We're going to fly off to the playoffs.
I'm a fan of that.
I feel like this was one of those games where there was too much talk about the tie leading up to it. And it got
on
in everyone's
social media for sure.
It's almost like it made it happen. Like, if I'm like, hey, Russ, whatever you do, don't say this word, don't say it, and it like makes you say it in the end. We're right here, we're like, we're gonna have a tie organically, basically, at the end almost. On to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had a vested interest in that game. That was the interesting ripple effect here, was all the Steelers needed was for it to not end in a tie,
right?
And they're in. Didn't matter who won. As long as they didn't both win, as long as there wasn't a tie, the Steelers would get in. What a weird way to watch a game, for one. And then you're sitting there watching it as a Steeler player, knowing all we need is for this to not end in a tie. And all night it looks like
the thing that shouldn't happen, like the lowest percentage
There's been one tie in the NFL all season, Russ.
What do you think Mike Tomlin was thinking? Because you guys see the video of him dancing in the locker room after. That was pre-Sunday Night Football. He did that. He put himself out there on social media dancing, celebrating, making the playoffs. I can only imagine what his household was like when he's like, I'm watching myself on TikTok right now dancing, and we're about to get eliminated because of this damn tie.
Nah, that's rough, man.
It was nice to see him have fun for once.
It was. No, that was cool. That was
Mike Tomlin might be the least likely coach ever to dance on social media in the locker room.
You notice he never blinked while dancing.
Him or Belichick. I mean, I don't know. He never blinked. No, Mike Tomlin doesn't.
He never blinked.
Well, he does blink. He does blink, though, because Mike Tomlin said that he fell asleep and didn't see the end of the game. And at first, I saw this headline that Mike Tomlin slept through the end of the game that his entire season was riding on, and I thought he's probably kind of joking, or I don't know if Mike Tomlin jokes, I guess. But I watched the video of him saying it, Russ, and he didn't sound at all like he was joking. He sounded like he was dead serious. He kind of slipped into sleep toward the end of that game.
I kind of did too, Chris.
Yeah, but your job wasn't riding on it, Chris. Your season wasn't riding on it.
The crazy part about that, what's not crazy about that is, it wasn't like the game got better as the night went on.
Right. It was a good game.
It was a good game, but it wasn't you didn't think it was going to end the way it did.
Well, but who falls asleep in a fireworks show? Like, it was a good ending.
I would agree with you there.
Sometimes that couch, man, that thing that takes no prisoners. My couch, like, I don't care what you're watching. You lay down on that thing, it's out.
Do you? Are you a person who can fall asleep at any point during the day? Like, if you're tired,
not during the day, no, but late at night. Like, once you get past like 11 p.m., if I'm trying to throw on something on Netflix, never make it through like anything. Like, because that's my time to like watch stuff. It's like late at night, and I'm like, that's when I. You know, I'm like, all right, tonight I haven't watched Curb this week. Let me watch the Curb, and then I'm out before the on HBO thing.
you can't watch stuff at that time that you want to watch.
I know.
Because you might not make it. Like, when I'm watching TV that late at night, I always watch like Simpsons reruns or something. Something that it's okay if I fall asleep during, and not like Ozark that I'm trying to follow.
I do the thing where I'm like laying on my right side, trying to like prop my head up, because like once the head's leaned back on the pillow, I mean, that's just game over. So it's like, but then after like 6 minutes, my whole right side's asleep. So I'm like, all right, I guess I got to lay on my back for a few minutes. Boom, done.
Russ, I had a weird dream the other day, actually. Do you want to hear about it?
A weem.
Okay.
Well, Chris made me think of it because he was talking about falling asleep watching shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a dream that I was being attacked by my daughters, by their dolls, like their Barbies and stuff.
Jesus.
Were attacking me and biting me.
No and more shit. I was like, bed for Jason.
They could move their jaws. They could move the jaws.
And I was like swinging at them and stuff in my dream. And I made enough noise that my wife woke up and she reached over to check on me and she put her hand on my shoulder. And I thought she was one of the dolls. And so I just kind of flung my arm and kind of knocked her in the forehead a little bit.
You're putting hands on Ashley over there, buddy.
Don't say that. That's not what happened.
No. I don't want to laugh.
Subconsciously.
Yeah, look.
Everyone in my house thinks this is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
I have a lot of weird dreams, man.
Do you remember all your dreams?
Usually, yeah.
I hate the thing when you remember it for like a minute and then it's like it goes away.
It's weird. There is like an expiration on it. Like, I'll remember it till about.
That's a thing, Russ. 11 you're laughing
a.m.
At the
thing. No.
If you ask me in like, those first couple hours, I know.
Like, I agree. Yeah. I agree with Chris, but it was just funny the way you. Like, the disappointment.
I tailed off at the end.
And then it goes away.
It does. That's exactly what it like evaporates. It's true. Yeah. It's a perfect analogy.
And you're always I'm definitely. I can't wait to get to work and tell them about this. And then you're driving in, you're like, the hell was that dream?
Where did it go?
Right.
Yeah. Tom Brady rejected Bruce Arians trying to pull him out of a game the other day, Russ. Did you see this clip?
I did.
He wanted to stay in to make sure that Gronk got his $500,000 bonus for catches, so he waved off Arians, stayed in the game, got Gronk his incentive, and then checked out. He's a good friend.
Look, I would hope that you would stay in the game to let me hit my incentives. So, I'm with him. Yeah.
I feel like Blaine Gabbert's like, yo, I can get Gronk the ball. Like, can I play for like
Blaine Gabbert cannot be trusted with this.
Can I get six plays, Brady?
Gronk walks over like, hey, man, just so we know, like, I don't want to catch passes from Blaine Gabbert. Like, who would want to do that?
That's what's happening.
I'll catch him.
He needs seven catches. Brady leaves. Gronk's got six. And then they bring in Gabbert, and it's like he just ends on six. You know that happens.
No, you definitely Blaine Gabbert, Brady, like, hey, man, you owe me $1 million.
Yeah. If Blaine Gabbert could make sure that he got it to him, then Blaine Gabbert would probably have had a better career to this point. Chris, do you hate Tom Brady from all the years of the Dolphins and the Patriots, or what's your feeling toward him?
This was weird because this is like the opposite of what I was doing with KD. I like him more now that he's – I mean, obviously because he's not in my division anymore as a Dolphins fan. Yeah. But I do just find – I find them both more likable now. It's a weird thing. Belichick, Brady – both a little bit more likable now that they don't have each other.
We've talked about this on the pod the last couple of weeks, especially with Brady, where it's just like something happened where he's the fun guy. He's like has the podcast now. He's more relaxed. He's more relaxed in the media availabilities. He has fun on social. Like his social media team is amazing. Like it seems like something has changed for him.
And I agree. Just more likable, something about him. I mean, maybe it's just right. Everyone wants to say when you're in the Patriot way, they don't want you to be that. So maybe he has just more freedom to do that now, or he's just like, I'm the GOAT. Everyone says,
he's reached the mountaintop, and there's nothing else. Like, where is it else to go? So you're kind of playing with house money now. Yeah. So it's like, I'm gonna have fun.
Gonna play like six more years probably.
To 50. I think there is something to what Chris said, though, where you see a lot of times an athlete, a really prominent athlete like LeBron, for example, they kind of come into their own maybe as they're hitting about 30. They've been in the league a while. They've been in adulthood for a while. They start to really kind of find their voice and who they want to be and what things they care about, what things they want to speak at. Great. For Brady to have that happen in his 40s is pretty late for that, but I think it's getting out of New England.
Yeah.
I think it's feeling like you're finally – out of the house, like you're finally on your own,
and getting vindication of that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like he won his first year, so he's like, oh wait, if I was even wondering how much of this pie chart was me, I know now. I thought I was a bigger, more important than him, but it seems like I actually am.
One last note on football roundup for you guys.
Yeah,
I have saved the absolute best for last. This is just a report at this point. I hope so much that this happens, but Amazon has reached out to Marshawn Lynch about being part of their football broadcast.
Oh, like a Manning cast, but with Marshawn?
Yeah, well,
thing? Like kind of like a casual watch along?
I think they're going to be a little more careful and limited and pre-taped with this. Marshawn was on the Manning cast and dropped a what the f*** on there.
Yeah.
But I think that the New York Post report that I read was that this would probably be more of a pre-taped. If the game is in, say, Miami, then you're going to get in the pregame show Marshawn Lynch telling you, everything he thinks about Miami. I would rather see him live for us. We got to get Marshawn Lynch live.
Listen, Amazon, you can pay the FCC for whatever fine you'd have to pay.
Do they even have to? Got it. On the internet? Would they even have to?
No, on the internet you don't.
I like the different broadcast options. Like, have you guys done the Manning cast thing? Like, what do we like? Just
I'm
I don't want
to. Cool, man. I actually think the Monday Night Football crew is really good, and so
me too.
You kind of cut their legs off having the Mannings on.
I just like different. I like option. I like being able to go back and forth. I just like. I mean, ESPN can do that shit. Like, I like the. Like, I just
options are cool.
Yeah,
everybody can and. Everybody can and they should. I mean, you're going to watch the games either way. Like, the broadcast almost doesn't really matter. So you can take a big swing on it. And if you happen to strike gold where I have not seen the Manning cast, I've just seen highlights of it. And it does seem to be something everybody likes. Like, that's a great idea. Or the film room stuff that they do with college football.
It came in hot. Like, it does seem to have kind of like, you know, the buzz around the Manning stuff. Like, the first couple episodes, everyone was like really excited about it. It does seem to have kind of dipped in just people talking about it. But I just like creative hacks, cracks.
Yeah, that's okay. Like, if that's a 1 year thing. Who cares? Try something else next year. There's, yeah. You have all these different platforms, Russ, where you can put these things. You have the broadcast, the internet, Twitter, whatever. You have all these different places you can put it, and everybody's going to watch the game.
Right.
It does not matter who you put on there. Everyone's still going to watch the game. Why not take these risks? And I think Marshawn Lynch is quite a risk, but man, is that a risk worth taking? Like, I will be tuned into that. Especially if you get him live.
I'd rather watch that than Michael Kay and A-Rod.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Let's try a new game here on the show with you, Chris. One of your best talents is creating words. You've built a whole career off creating words.
Quirds.
Perfect.
I thought you were teeing me up. I was like, you said it twice with a little space in between. I'm like, I feel like this is my moment. It's getting a little late in the night. I was like, is this my moment? Good.
It doesn't seem like it was. But let's play our Chris Cody word game. Play the imaging, Tony.
Now it's time to play Creating Words with Chris Cody.
Like an improv conversation. Improvisation.
So how do you play?
It's a game show, and this is how it works. It's all about smushing words together, and here I have an example for you.
Did you see saw?
The smush there would be...
saw.
Jason?
All right, Chris, I'm going to give you a few things here, and let's see if you can help us create some new words here on the show. Use your creativity.
Are you going to get me in trouble?
Well, we'll see.
Editing.
I think these are harmless. These are harmless. So, like right now, we're in Chicago. Russ, you've been driving around. You've seen the snow. All the snow is very shiny because it's all frozen
glassy.
Solid.
Yes.
Yeah, don't step on that. We have glassy snow, Chris. Glassy snow.
Glow.
Well, but that's already a different word. That's not going to work.
What are we changing my... Like, this is the Chris game.
My game. What are you going to change the rules on me?
All right.
See, like, this game is weird because sometimes I use the first two letters of a word. Like, it's just up to me. Like, you
wow,
give me
thank you
words.
For explaining the craft. This is like listening to Van Gogh or Michelangelo talk about
you're
their
the
painting.
One questioning Van Gogh. I mean, geez.
Russ, we had the season, the annual tradition of the Bears season-ending press conference where George McCaskey comes out and he either tells everyone, the owner of the team, Chris, he either tells everyone everything's fine or don't worry, everything will soon be fine. And spoiler alert, it never is.
No.
Ever. I would say Bears chairman George McCaskey's press conference, Chris, was a combination of condescending and depressing.
Compressing.
Not bad.
Condepressing. Actually, condepressing. Ooh.
You like that one better? Those are a lot of syllables. You're usually more you had to reach for that one.
I like that one. That one was fun, though. That one made me smile.
That's the most important thing.
Chris, we covered this earlier in the show. Our buddy Russ is about to have a...
You sound like a bad comedian the way you're teeing up each one
Who
of
does?
These, by the way.
Well,
you do. You're like, Chris,
okay.
The other day we... So like, just like you're literally doing it the way like when someone goes out on the Tonight Show and they're doing a set. It's like, I saw this cat in the woods the other day.
For this next joke, my wife and I went to Target. Russ has a job change coming up, Chris. A job change.
A change.
Good luck on the change, Russ.
Okay. And you know, in the back of my mind, I'm just like, are any of these offensive?
Yeah.
Oh, they might
be. Chris definitely said, will these get me in trouble? And I was like, oh, no, they won't. But then you're just like,
Like, I never want to go hunting any cakes. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
stop.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the point. It's like, there's been times where on the show something is said and the joke is me saying, I'm not playing it this time. Cause it's like, it's so clearly a setup for a terrible word.
What about a guest co-host, Chris? Like you, you're a guest host.
A ghost.
Oh, there you go. Tony Gill is a genius, but also a disaster.
Disaster.
Ooh.
Oh, hey, you. I don't know if I like that one. You know what's funny about that? Tony will love that because it led to an AU.
Hey, yo! What the?
Good time to end the game.
Yes.
Russ and Chris, would you guys like to hear the news we didn't get to today?
Nothing would make me happier.
I'm going with that answer.
In our latest example, Russ, of why I don't think the media should get to vote for anything important, the Boston Globe's Dan Shaughnessy submitted his Hall of Fame ballot for baseball and voted for only Jeff Kent. Jeff Kent. Do Jeff Kent. That's a gent ballot, right?
Oh, Chris? I thought you were talking. Oh, yeah, you're right. That is. I thought you were teeing him
no,
up.
No, I was not telling. I was not telling Russ to do a hot take on Jeff Kent. Russ, what's going on with this? Why do these guys do this? What's with the protest ballots? We know that you need to be voting for other people. He says that he says Jeff Kent was dominant in his position, no whiff of scandal. How do you even know that Jeff Kent didn't?
Seriously,
cheat?
That is weird.
Go ahead, Russ. I'm wrong about why the media shouldn't.
I know you're on this. You've been on this media shouldn't vote for awards kick the last couple of weeks.
Because I hate when people do stuff like this and abuse it.
I just don't think it's fair that a couple of people who have put themselves on some pedestal get to speak for the entire electorate. Like, that's not right. If of the 200 people that get to vote, 25 are pompous like this, I don't think that speaks for the majority. The problem is 25 people being that way could be the difference in a guy getting in the Hall of Fame or not.
I think you just got to change. You have to just change the system, though, because like, if you're going to give people a vote, if you're going to give Dan Shaughnessy and Greg Cody a Hall of Fame vote, then you got to just live with who they vote for. You can't, like, the whole point of having people vote is people different opinions, and that's how we get to our, like, it can't just be these are the people that should get in. So if you don't vote for these exact people, you don't deserve a ballot, because that defeats the whole purpose.
Well, so it takes 10 years to even get a vote, so I won't even get a vote for another like 6 years, right? And then I just believe there are too many people who don't cover baseball who get to vote for the Hall of Fame.
Right, Cody. My dad.
Russ.
My dad sort of does.
But let
no,
me give
my
you
dad
an
does cover. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me give you an example, and I don't mind. This was all public. He did this publicly. But one of my really, really good friends in Miami is a guy named Carlos Frias. Do you know him from the Miami Herald?
Wasn't
he on your show recently, Chris? I know Carlos. I've known Carlos for a long time. He's older than me. He at times was kind of like a mentor to me. Really good guy. Russ, he covered baseball originally. I think he covered the Braves for a while and got his vote through that. Carlos now and for the last several years has been the food editor at the Miami Herald. And he's incredible at that job. But a food editor has no business voting for the Baseball Hall of Fame. And Carlos said that. And he voluntarily surrendered his vote for that reason, because it made no sense why he would have a vote.
No, it's just like there are too many people who are you haven't watched baseball in over a decade. You're covering an entirely different sport, which, hey, salute. Like, that's dope. But like, if you're not covering baseball anymore, there are people who are in the game, who watch the game, who don't have a vote, where it's like that doesn't necessarily make sense. So there's some issues in the system. I don't know how you fix that. I would hope that gets adjusted over the years.
So you don't want the system to change. You're like, I want to get that vote. That's what I want.
But Russ is going to do well with it. Russ was going to treat it seriously. And,
you know, right.
Without grudges.
In defense of my dad, I know I like tongue-in-cheek mess with my dad. My dad puts a ton – my dad researches it like crazy. Right. Now, to your point, my dad is – he'll go to Marlins opening day. Like, he follows the sport, but he's not on – my dad's a columnist, so my dad –
he's still an active, current sports columnist. Right. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. So he takes it very seriously. So, like – but I get your point of, like, it should be – like, we should figure out who are the 200 people covering the sport the best. They should decide, right? I mean, that should be it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of your dad, one mystery I never solved. Does your dad like me?
My dad's socially awkward. So, like, if you have a hello, like, how's it going relationship with my dad, then yeah, he loves you. Like,
I've always thought he didn't. I like him, but I think I don't know that he likes me.
I think that's a lot of people get that from him, because, like, in the work setting, like in a press box, he's never going to be the, hey, let's go get a beer after this kind of guy. He's just socially awkward. He's the kind of guy that on a road trip, you know, when all the other writers are downstairs at the bar having a beer, he buys like a six pack from the gas station and just goes up to his room. That's my dad.
I did enjoy, especially my last couple of years in Miami, he would do his Greg Cody thing in the press box even.
What do you mean? You know,
like there was one day they said, they made some announcement, like a PR guy came. They used to do this great pregame meal there, and a PR guy came through, and he's like, hey, guys, the carving station's open. And I just hear someone go, carving it.
Oh, that's my dad?
Yeah.
That is funny. Yeah. That's the thing. All his shticks on the show, my dad is the most, of all the people in the Levitard show world,
yeah,
my dad is the most genuine, because everybody else kind of gets what we're doing and turns it on. Like, they might be themselves, but it's a more exaggerated.
My dad,
my dad, like, turns it down. Like, he's trying, like, he just is just like himself, and it turns into gold. Like, he stumbled into some greatness with, like, this, like, being bad on a podcast thing.
What do you think of watching the rest of the world love that when it's probably just annoyed the bejesus out of you your entire life?
No, it is. It's a dynamic that, like, I you know, as I get older and have a kid, I have these moments of, I'm so happy to work with my dad. This is such a cool thing that I'm going to cherish forever. And then 10 minutes into the show, I want to punch him in the face because he's annoying the shit out of me. It's like, I'm like, I never want to work with him. Nah, but it overall, it's obviously great, but he does frustrate the shit out of me.
Russ, back to the news. Kevin Garnett landed in a big mess on Twitter this week. Did you see that? He was quoted in an ESPN story saying something incredibly inflammatory. In passing, he referred to Steph Curry as, quote, the Michael Jordan of his era. That's the controversy. That's the whole thing. People take that very seriously.
I mean, I'm gonna shoot KG some bail because one, I love KG, but I don't. There are things to be offended by, but if I'm gonna assume that KG meant, hey, this guy changed the way basketball was played, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there would be people that would say, well, his time and LeBron's time is the same, but I would argue, and I'm assuming KG would argue, that they're different because LeBron came so far or a couple years before. I don't think that was that big.
Hopefully this isn't being very offensive, and I'm really just asking the question. Did Jordan, obviously Jordan's the GOAT, but, like, did he change the game, or wasn't he just more dominant and better? Like, you know what I mean? Like, whereas Steph Curry is physically changing the game, whereas Jordan is just the best ever and didn't lose ever in the finals.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, like, it's like LeBron. LeBron is, like, you know, the comparison of this.
I feel like LeBron changed the game because before LeBron, it was Shaq, Tim Duncan, Dirk. Like, those guys would, if you had the best big man, your team would usually win. Yeah. Then it became a league dominated by wings, right? That was LeBron's era. So I would say that if somebody wanted to say, like, LeBron was the game changer of the 2000s and then Steph was the 2010s, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. I think Jordan did change the game. Like, for in revenue.
He changed the game
so much because, like, of him
financially, for sure.
Financially, for sure. Pop culture. He might be the most famous person that walked the face of this earth. Him and Michael Jackson.
He made bald cool.
Right. Yes. Like, made bald cool. Made one earring cool.
Like that. I'm with you on that. I just mean physically the game. Like, Steph Curry has done. Steph Curry has done less of what you just said about Jordan, and just literally changed the dynamic of, like, we shoot a shit ton of threes now. I mean, we were kind of headed towards that direction, but that's what I think when people think that's Steph's legacy is. He made this everyone want to shoot threes kind of thing.
I think Mike's is, like, he made the NBA, right? Yeah. Obviously, the NBA had been in existence, but, like, the modern NBA doesn't exist without him being Michael Jordan. And then now we view that as who was the Michael Jordan of the era as, like, yes, who changed the game on the court, who changed. Like, if you look at the Heat and what they did, like, that changed basketball. So, yeah. I get what you're saying. Like, it was like, is it one specific thing that Mike did to change basketball? I think you'd have to really go through.
But you were right. You won the argument. Like, you're so right. Financially, he turned it into a bigger deal. Like, I mean, I guess Lakers Celtics was a big deal, but, like, I think he did.
Games are still on tape delay.
Pop culture, financially, he changed the game. Like, that is, there's no doubt.
Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson. It's about time we finally got to this, Russ. Kim and Pete, or as I call them, America's sweethearts, they hit the Camarillo, California outlet mall over the weekend to get caramel apples and frozen bananas. They went with their bodyguards, you know, like you're going to have to once you have the TV show. Can we just, Chris, can we stop for a second here? Like, I'm sorry. My question about this the entire time has been, what is going on here?
What do you mean? Good for what, Pete. Like, why are we?
Yeah,
like,
but honestly, this is confusing. This is very I think by the tone of you guys' question just now, I think you agree that something is just weird here. What's going on here?
What is this about it?
I think
it's the one thing about dating and since the beginning of time, you can win as the funny dude.
Yeah.
Is that what this is?
And his vibe is in.
There's no person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what's his vibe? Style. I don't care about anything.
That's just like, yeah, that's it's in right now.
He's funny.
Yeah.
If you're funny, like, you're going to have success.
What's this vibe? I got to know what this vibe is. This like, as far as style of dress,
I don't give
vibe,
a shit about
is
what
vibe,
you
like,
think.
Hey, I found these. I found this stuff.
I'm so confident. And
he's himself.
Yeah, I'm so confidently me that like I'll do anything and I can rock it because I just don't care what you think. And people love it. People love it. And
he's
plus,
a legend in that department too, by the way.
Yeah, and as someone who gets a couple tweets a week of, you outkicked your coverage. Like I can relate to this. Like I don't like this whole thing of we make decisions on who should be dating who. Like, you know, as
also,
you know. Look at this face. I'm a funny guy too. I'm telling you, the personalities work. I mean,
in terms of Pete though, like it ain't out kicking your coverage if you do it more than once.
That's true.
Right?
It's just
that does seem to be his range. That does seem to be his range.
His jersey is in the rafters.
I think the question. I think you just answered the question though. I think we all know what's going on there.
Hey man, I ain't mad at it. That's somebody who knows.
And finally, Russ. And Chris, a rat named Magawa died this week. He was 8 years old. You know what was fascinating about Magawa was that he could smell landmines. He was working in Cambodia sniffing out landmines. They estimate that he sniffed out over 100 landmines and explosives that could have harmed or killed people.
Huh.
It's impressive. That's a good run. Guys, supposed to be impressed by this. This is a rat saving human lives.
I'm just digesting it.
Did he die because he blew up or
no? I think 8 years old is old age for a rat. He was an African giant pouch rat that's bigger than a normal rat, but small and light enough that if it steps on a landmine, it won't trigger it. And he comes from the nonprofit APOPO, I believe, APOPO, which trains rats to detect landmines and tuberculosis. I feel like those are very different tasks for the rat. But
I just want to like watch this training process, like this facility where they do this. Like I'm very interested in what this looks like.
So
like
odd.
The first day of training, do you have like a 50,000 rats, and then by the end of the first day, it's like we got 20,000 winners here. What do we do with the other 30,000? Like
they have tryouts, or
it probably is
something like that. It probably is something like that.
They put a piece of cheese like 3 miles down the road, and it's like, all right, whichever rats get there, you know.
But landmines don't smell like cheese. I wonder how.
That's a stamina test. Day one is just to see who has the stamina, and then like you know you gotta whittle down the field.
APOPO refers to these kinds of rats as hero rats, and Magawa sniffing out triple digits of explosives and saving lives and saving people's health like that. He truly is a hero rat, Russ.
A hat.
Rest in peace to.
See, it works. It just works. See, that's my window. See, that was one of those ones where Jason said something. He was throwing it to Russ, and I knew I had a quick little window for a hat. That's it. That's all I need.
Nailed it.
No, that's look, man. rest in peace to Magawa. This has been a really fun episode. Chris, thank you for joining Jason and I on our audio adventure that we call a podcast and jumping on with us, sir.
Dude,
we really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
Well, thank you, Chris Cody, presented by Sheets and Giggles.
That's right. Oh.
And also the other place that we can't say on our podcast.
No, we can. This show is brought to you by BetUS. And
no,
you can use...
when Chris sponsors Chris.
Sheets and Giggles, baby. That's it.
That's it.
We don't have a competing bedsheet sponsor, so
we're good. We don't. So we can definitely say that one.
Not yet. You got to hook us up with the Sheets and Giggles people, Chris.
I'm telling you, he's a good dude.
Well, there you go. We'll figure something out. As always, our podcast is sponsored by BetUS. Go to BetUS.com. Use promo code SportsAdjacent to get 125% off your first deposit when you deposit $50. Jason, anything before we let the fine folks go?
That deal specifically is 125% sign up bonus. So whatever you put in,
did I screw it up? Extra... That's 2 weeks in a row now.
It's okay.
No.
I'm cleaning it up.
That's 2 weeks.
Cleaning it up.
You know what's crazy? I was saying it. I'm like, nah, Russ, you f***ed it up. Like, this is not right. Yeah, what Jason said.
125% sign up bonus if you use code SportsAdjacent, all one word. It means you start your account with $100, they'll kick you an extra $25, Russ.
Boom, there you go. As always, make sure you go to Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, wherever you find your audio content. Chris, let everybody know where they can find you and all of your lovely work.
I am at, I've gone through a few name changes, so I believe at the moment I'm at __ Chris Cody.
What?
Trying to get that verification, and I've done this thing in the past where, like, at one point I was Chris Cody ESPN, and then very quickly I learned, oh, that can't be that anymore. So I've tried to get away from attaching, like, where I am with, like, my name. So I've landed on __ Chris Cody.
Who has regular at Chris Cody?
That's, trust me, somebody. I mean, I don't really know how to go through this process, but, you know, if you're out
Metal
there.
Metal Arc needs to buy him out, man.
Yeah, if you're listening out there. If
Chris, you
Chris
can definitely
Cody,
get verified. Like, y'all know enough people where you can get verified.
We're working on it. We're working on it. I've been working on it for like 3 years, but I'm working on it.
For me, Russ Dorsey, that's Jason Leisure. That's our buddy Chris. He has a podcast with Metal Arc Media. Dan Levitard, you might have heard of him. And we will catch you guys. Oh, shout out to our boy Tony for getting engaged.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Congrats to Tony and Stephanie. That's amazing. It was super awesome. I was emotional. Lawrence was crying. It was great. We'll talk about it when Tony brings his ass back to the podcast. We will see everybody next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.